This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama, tasliman kathira. Following on from the introduction, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to now start the book, Aslu Sunnati wa I'tiqadu al-Din. Also known as the Aqidah of the two Razis, Abu Zur'a al-Razi and also Abu Hatim al-Razi. So how did this whole book or this whole Aqidah come about? It was actually the son of Abu Hatim al-Razi who asked the question. And I'm going to read it out for you here, inshallah. The brothers here, they translated it. We were informed by Abu Zayd al-Shami. In a reading to him, he said, we were informed by Sheikh Abu Talib Abdul Qadir Ibn Muhammad, Ibn Abdul Qadir Ibn Muhammad Ibn Yusuf, in a reading to him. And he was listening, and I, Abu Zayd, was listening, and he, Abu Talib, sanctioned it. He said, we were informed by Sheikh Abu Ishaq Ibrahim Ibn Umar Ibn Ahmad Al-Barmaki, who said it was narrated to us by Abu Hassan Ali Ibn Abd al-Aziz Ibn Mardak Ibn Ahmad Ibn Ahmad al-Barda'i, who said, we were informed by Abu Muhammad Abdul Rahman Ibn Abi Hatim, may Allah make him happy and be pleased with him, who said, Sa'altu Abi wa Aba Zur'ata an madahibi Ahli Sunnah. I asked my father and Abu Zur'a about the madahib of Ahl al-Sunnah regarding the fundamentals of the religion. This in itself is a lesson. This in itself, just asking about the aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah and searching for it is something that is very, very important, and we can go on for lessons and lessons talking about this matter. Where do we take our religion from? And as I mentioned before in the introduction, what did Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala say? Inna hadha al-ilmu deen. This knowledge is your religion. So be careful where you take your religion from. Fanduru amman ta'khudhu deenakum. So be careful of where you take your religion from. And how come we find today so many deviant sects? Did they take it from the correct source? Did they take it from the correct people? Who was Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi taking it from? An imam. His father was an imam in hadith. His aqidah was sound. So it's a lesson for us to, when a matter occurs, whether it is from the contemporary matters or whether it is from the old foundations of our religion, is that we go searching for the correct person who might give us this religion. This is why time and time again, what do we try to do? We try to connect the brothers to who? The classical scholars. This is why we taught Imam the Aqidah, Usul al-Sunnah lil Imam al-Humaydi. Who was the teacher of this person that we're studying now? Who was the teacher of who? Abu Hatim al-Razi. And Abu Zur'at al-Razi. طيب. And whose teacher was an alim, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And if a person does that, actually goes to the correct source of taking his knowledge from the classical scholars, and those who are in accordance to these classical scholars, you end up finding that this person's aqidah becomes sound. As for a person who's now gone to maybe the Brilbiya, or he's gone to the Rawafid, or he's gone to someone else, and taken the most corrupt aqaid, this person hasn't fulfilled what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us to do? فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge. If you don't know. بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ was with proofs and evidences. So when a person is now going out to seek knowledge from a guy that the ulama don't know him, or his aqidah is not in accordance to the classical scholars, or the ulama that are ma'rufin, or he is not known to be upon the people of the Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah don't know him, Even sometimes you find when a student of knowledge comes back, you have to know this person's aqidah before you actually take knowledge from him. And if this person is this person now who is giving you knowledge, who did he take his knowledge from? Where did he take his knowledge from? And another way to know if a person is a scholar, na'am, like I mentioned to you before as well, is his students and his works. First, who praised him? His students and his works. And I gave you the example of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Some of the scholars, they mentioned, if only he had Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, it was enough for us to what? To know the scholarship and the greatness and the honor of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. So it's important to ask. The Sahaba, they used to ask. They never used to go about using the aql, the intellect, to do a particular action. They used to go up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they were going out to Hunayn, when they were going out to the Battle of Hunayn, even though some of the companions, they were new to Al-Islam, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after they walked past a group of mushriks who were hanging their asliha, their weapons on a tree called Dhat Anwat, in order to get blessings so that they have good omen and they have great luck to when they go out and fight and etc. They never went out and they start doing things in their own accord. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اجعل لنا ذات أنوات كما لهم ذات أنوات. It's a lesson from there as well. Make us a tree, a ذات أنوات, just like they have a tree as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became upset and he told them that what they're saying is similar to what the people of Musa said to him, اجعل لنا آلهة كما لهم آلهة. Make us a god, just like they have a god as well. طيب. The whole point is, Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr, Ibn Abd al-Muhsin al-Abbad al-Badr, he derived from this that it is important for a person, whatever the matter might be, to always go back to who? The scholars and ask that question. You haven't been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to act upon ignorance. No one's asked you to go do something out of ignorance. That's why Imam Bukhari has what? A whole chapter. Babul ilm qabla al-qawli wal-amal. The chapter of seeking knowledge before you say and before you actually act. So if you're in Hajj, you're in Umrah, something regarding Siyam, something regarding Salat, it is an obligation for you to what? To go and ask. No one has made an obligation for you to act with ignorance. If you look now, brothers, why are the Takfiris and a lot of our brothers going to ISIS? Why are they traveling to Iraq? Did they get scholarly advice from the scholars? No. Did one alim say, go and fight with ISIS? Even if you go to Iraq now, where do you fight? You have Jabhat al-Nusra, who claim to be Muslims, claim to be fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have ISIS, who are claiming the exact same thing. You have all these other groups who are all claiming under Islam. The ulama, they look at it from a very, very tight angle. From a very far position. No alim ever said go out what? To go, none of them ever said go and start fighting for the sake of Allah. See what happens now when you don't go back to the scholars. You end up doing things thinking that you are going to become a shaheed, or you're going to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to go do jihad. Rather, you've taken your knowledge from maybe corrupt, misguided individuals, who have given this person a fatwa. He's misguided, and he's misguided the others as well. And this is from the alamat al-sa'ah. That's why the more time goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, it's becoming more hard and hard to differentiate between who's speaking the haqq and who's speaking the batil. Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he started crying when he mentioned this hadith. Most of you don't know what? No, Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan. One of the biggest scholars, ulama, that we have today here in this dunya. This hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْتَزِعُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just seize the ilm, doesn't just seize the knowledge and remove it. Rather, the knowledge disappears and it becomes removed
by apostle of scholars.
by the passing away of the scholars. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقِ عَالَمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقِ عَالِمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا. Until there's no alim that remains. Until there's no alim that remains. People, they start going back to who? Ignorant people. Ignorant men. فَأَفْتَوْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمُ فِي رِوَايَةٍ فَأَفْتَوْ بِرَأْهِمْ. In some narrations it comes, they gave fatawa with their opinion and without knowledge. فَضَلُوا وَأَضَلُوا. And they led themselves astray and they led the people astray as well. So that's very, very important. Where we take our knowledge from. If I say to you, wallahi, brothers, I'm not saying this out of humbleness or whatever and ever, huh? If I say to you something, wallahi, and this is a contract, a promise between every single one of you, wallahi, if I say to you something that goes against the Quran or the Sunnah or something the scholar said, wallahi, you have to take it, you have to throw it in my face. And this is what the scholars of the past have said. Forget about me. The scholars of the past have said, if I say something that goes against the Quran and the Sunnah, or I teach you something from these books that we're studying that doesn't go in accordance to what the ulama have said, then wallahi, you're not allowed to take it from me. Imam al-Shafi'i said, if you see something what I said and it goes against the Quran, throw it against the wall. Do you understand the point? The point is not I'm trying to call you to what I believe or what everyone else believes. Our whole main objective is to connect the people to the classical scholars, the scholars of this time. So when the scholars hear me, you go seek knowledge from them. We're just like a little wasila, a means to what? Teach you what the scholars have to say. So Abi Zur'a was asked by Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi, and he also asked his father, of what the madhab of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah is when it comes to the fundamentals of our religion. وَمَا أَدْرَكَ عَلَيْهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَمْصَارِ. And what they both found the scholars in all the major cities upon. Look at the second question he asked. Huh? And also what the other scholars are upon. You're my father. Huh? But if your aqeedah goes against the rest of the major scholars, then what? Keep it to yourself. But he wants to also know if the other major scholars are what? Upon the same aqeedah. وَمَا يَعْتَقِدَانِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And what they themselves believed from that. Because brothers, these usul that we're studying is muttafaqun alayhi. The ulama are in agreement with it. The ulama are in agreement with it. There's no ikhtilafat when it comes to, huh? Masail al-qadar, masail al-iman, masail al-sahaba. I can't say, okay, fulan's cursing the sahaba or fulani has something against Abu Bakr. Akhi, it's like fiqh. It's like fiqh, huh? A person, he can maybe do wudu once and once. Every body part, he washes once and once, or he washes it twice and twice, or three times. Let him do this one, and I'll do this one. La, la, la. We have a problem if someone is cursing the Sahaba. These are from the usul, the fundamentals that Ahlul Sunnah have gathered upon. Unanimously agreed. There's no ikhtilafat. It's not a light matter. So that's why it is not something that is broad. A person can come and he can say whatever he wants. It is wujuban. Compulsory for a person to believe these matters that we're studying. فَقَالَ. And they replied, أَدْرَكْنَا الْعُلَمَاء فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَمْصَارِ. We were acquainted with the scholars in all regions. In all regions. حِجَازًا وَعِرَاقًا وَمِصْرًا وَشَامًا وَيَمَنًا فَكَانَ مِنْ مَذْهَبِهِمْ. The scholars in Hijaz, which was at that time Saudi Arabia. It was also known as Hijaz. Iraq, Egypt, Sham, and Yemen. And it was from their madhab. أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ. That Iman, meaning faith, is statement and action. It increases and decreases.
I just noticed something. You said What are they themselves? But then when both of them had that, they didn't actually say that we agree with that.
No, he says, أدركنا العلماء في جميع الأمصار حجازا وعراقا ومصرا وشاما ويمنا فكان من مذهبهم. We were acquainted with the scholars in all regions. Meaning the scholars they were with, they all believed this عقيدة.
They all believed. But then what I'm trying to say,
he says, وما تقيدان من ذلك.
Because he wants to know what do you two agree with those major scholars?
No, he goes, and what they believe from that.
What they believe from that's what he wants to know. But then when they both replied back, they never said that we both agree that. So like to me, it showed their humbleness, you know?
Uh-huh. You just said, you could say that. Yeah. Na'am, because it's not necessarily, for example, if you're a student, na'am, you're not necessarily calling to your aqeedah. You're calling to the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah. Even though the Imam, the aqeedah is far greater than your personal self. Naam.
I just wanted to point out how he asked for those two, they also agree that.
And he said to them and referred them back to the scholars.
Exactly. So they both replied back referring to the scholars, but not showing them.
Okay. What is so important about the matters of al-Iman? What is so important of the matters of al-Iman? Why is it so important for us to actually study this? Due to a couple of reasons. So that one doesn't become complacent in that which he does in his religion. One not becoming complacent in his religion. If a person now thinks, if he just says La ilaha illallah, and he believes La ilaha illallah, and he doesn't need to do any action, what happens to him? This guy's just going to sit there, you know, enjoy himself. He doesn't need to do any ibadat. Why? Because it's not going to affect his iman. He becomes too complacent. And then you have the other side of the spectrum. If a person now thinks, if he leaves off a wajibat due to maybe his laziness or his deficiency, he becomes a kafir, he loses hope altogether and it leads to his destruction. So running away from complacency, one becoming too complacent in his religion, thinking that he doesn't need to do any action, and I'm going to explain this more, more as the lesson goes on. But we're trying to run away from complacency, and also the other side of the spectrum, which is becoming too fearful to an extent where we run away from the religion altogether. And once a person's fear becomes or outweighs his hope, na'am, what happens? He runs away and he falls into destruction, as we are going to cover inshallah ta'ala. And how many times do we hear all the time? My iman is in my heart. You tell someone to grow your beard, wallahi my iman, tamam. My iman is in my heart. As long as I got a sincere and I got a correct intention, whatever else I do is fine. Most of you have heard this, sah? One guy tells another guy, grow your beard, akhi, wallahi, the iman is in the heart. So no matter what he does with his limbs, it doesn't affect his iman. And all of this we're going to cover inshallah ta'ala. Not falling into the two sides, one ghulu, extravagance, and the other which is watering down. And Ahl Sunnah are always wasat in these matters. They're always in the middle. So the Iman, brothers, the definition of Al-Iman, it has three main pillars. Three main pillars. And write this down. The definition of al-Iman has three main pillars. And you can't actualize the reality of al-Iman except with these three pillars. Number one, affirmation with the tongue. قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ Affirmation with the tongue. Write this down, it's going to become more clear. Affirmation with the tongue. So for example, saying لا إله إلا الله with your tongue. Affirming, huh? The iman with your tongue by saying لا إله إلا الله. One can't have faith, he can't be a Muslim except after what? Uttering it with his tongue. Uttering it with his tongue. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرُكَ Tell me something in Islam. Tell me something in Islam that I can't ask anyone else or nobody else can tell me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ Say, I believe in Allah. He told him to what? Say, I believe in Allah. Some of you might be thinking, what has this got to do with anything? Na'am. But it's going to become more clear, inshallah. By the very moment, to say it with your tongue. The iman needs to come off your tongue. You need to affirm it with your tongue. To say, amen to billah. To say, la ilaha illallah. That's just to prove that the tongue, saying something with your tongue, has what? A significance when it comes to the matters pertaining to the iman. طيب. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرُكَ Tell me something in Islam that I can't ask anyone else. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ Say, I believe in Allah. What is that? What did he just tell him to? To say it with his tongue. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ And then after that, be firm, which is the action. We're going to come on to that later, inshallah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who said, huh? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا And then after that they were firm upon the path. So the whole point that I want you to see here, that faith is affirmed with your tongue. Part of iman is affirmation with what? The tongue. And when I mention these three pillars, after that I'm going to tell you, what if I take this one out? What do I do? Who do I enter into Al-Islam? Because if we don't have these three, in the end we might enter the munafiqun into Al-Islam. We might even enter Fir'aun into Al-Islam. If we don't what? Establish and actualize the correct definition of Al-Iman. Or you'll find the guy that says, Wallahi, the iman is in my heart. He's committing zina, huh? He's going with his girlfriend, he's stealing. No, he's shaving his beard, committing open fist. And he'll say, Akhi, iman is in my heart. Iman is in my heart, I'm fine. طيب. Number two. اعتقاد بالجنان. To believe and affirm of the heart. Affirmation of the heart. Or you could say believe in the heart. اعتقاد بالجنان الاعتقاد بالجنان جنان means heart أو اعتقاد بالقلب and the proof of this is the hadith of Jibreel huh? when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said الإيمان when he was asked about الإيمان what الإيمان is الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره To believe The iman is to believe The iman is to believe These are the pillars of al-iman What I'm speaking about now is what? The definition of al-iman The pillars that make the definition of al-iman Put these pillars that we've learned in this hadith to the side. There's no contradiction whatsoever. Huh? That's the pillars of Iman. I'm speaking now about the definition. The definition of al-Iman is not to just believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the malaika, huh? It's something that a person has to believe. But we're speaking about now the definition of al-Iman. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Al-Imanu an tu'mina. What does tu'mina mean? To believe. That you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we understand from this? Part of the definition of al-Iman is what? To believe with your heart. What was the first one? Tongue. To say with your tongue. So if I say La ilaha illallah with my tongue, and then what? I don't believe in my heart. Is that a problem? That's a big problem. I have to also believe La ilaha illallah in my heart. I can't believe, huh? I can't believe that there's a Lord that has other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has the right to be worshipped. The second pillar has been destroyed. Third one, al-amal, action. And put two lines like this under it. Write action and then put an upside down triangle, two lines. Sorry, not upside down. Like, you know, the two sides, the two long sides of a triangle, put it like that, under amal. Because there's two things that come under it. Action with the limbs and action with the heart. Give me an action of the heart, ya Aba Abdul Hakim. Fear. And what else?
Love.
Another one. Something that a lot of the women in our society don't have. Shyness. Al Haya. Huh? Hope, jade. All of these, do they take part in the heart or where else? Or on the limbs? On the heart. The haya, the shyness, to what? Takes place in the heart and then it becomes apparent upon the limbs. But the origin of it, what is in the heart? طيب. And then al-amalu bil-jawarih, action with the limbs. Action with the limbs. And the proof for this is, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-imanu bid'un wa situna wa fi riwayatin wa sab'una shu'ba. That the iman is 60 branches and in some narration 70 branches. A'laha qawla ilaha illallah. In this hadith you have the definition for what? All three of them. Al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba. It's 70 branches. The highest of it is to say la ilaha illallah. A'laha qawla ilaha illallah. The highest of it is to say La ilaha illallah. Wa adnaha imatatul adha min al-tariq. And the lowest part of al-iman is to remove what? Something harmful from the road, from the path. Something harmful from the path. Is that, what is that? Is that a saying? Is that a belief? It's an action. So what does it show you? That iman is what? Action and also affirmation of the tongue. So to say La ilallah, you're affirming what? With your tongue. And in the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-haya'u min al-iman. Shyness is from al-iman. Which is from the actions of the heart. And also Imam al-Bukhari, whoever goes back to Kitab al-Iman, and whoever can memorize the wallahi, if you memorize Kitab al-Iman, a lot of these masail of al-Iman will become very, very clear. And you'll have the ahadith, the proofs and evidences, huh? And you have it like water, a lot of these masail are going to become very, very easy. Kitab al-Iman in Sahih al-Bukhari. I remember I went through Kitab al-Iman or some of these masail before I memorized Kitab al-Iman Sahih al-Bukhari. Because I was memorizing Bukhari. Naam? And Kitab al-Iman is one of the first chapters. You have Kitab al-Wahi, then you have Kitab al-Iman, then you have Kitab al-Ilm. طيب. I studied it. It can get very, very confusing. And sometimes you might not understand the point. طيب. You go memorize that. And you find that there is so much proofs and evidences to rebuke some of the false statements which are being ascribed to the Salaf. As we're going to come to learn, you find many people, the Murji'ah, who say, Amal is not from the Iman. This statement that I said to you, Iman is in the qalb. If I say La ilaha illallah and my heart is fine, tamam, salim, I'm fine. This is the aqeedah of the Murji'ah, that the Amal doesn't affect you at all. So you know the Malaika. The Malaika. There's no difference between you and the Malaika. Because they say La ilaha illallah and they believe in the heart and actions, no effect. So whatever action you do and whatever action the Malaika do, even though they're constantly in ibadah, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, they don't commit ma'asi. So you Adnan, or anyone else, or the guy that's committing zina, the Muslim, but at the same time the muwahhid, there's no difference between the zani and what? The malaika. Because actions has nothing to do with the iman. So the aqeedah of the guy that's saying, my iman is fine, the iman's in the heart, wallahi, he's treading a very, very dangerous path.
You say the statement, Iman's in the heart, it's true, it's place in the heart.
Yeah, it's in the heart, Iman takes place. But these people, they what? I remember one brother, I'll give you a scenario. One brother said to him, inshallah, grow your beard and this, and the akhi goes, forget about, what's growing your beard? It's an action, sah?
It's a sunnah.
It's a wajib. Something that is compulsory. You want to shave your beard, huh? Ala kullin, the beard is a wajib. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded, and we know that the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al aslu fi al amr huwa madha, huwa al wujub. That's the asl of a command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, grow your beard. Ihful lihya. Wa qustu sharib. And shave the, or trim the mustache. So you can trim your mustache. If you really wanna use the machine. So the whole point is that the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala kullin, the brother, what did he say? He goes, ya akhi, the iman's in my heart. Whether I grow it or not, nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you pray or not, nothing, in other words. If you do siyam or not, nothing. Because you have iman in your heart.
So the hadith of cleanliness is part of iman. So does that fall under the limbs?
No, and when a person cleans himself and things like that. And also Imam Bukhari has many, many different chapters to try and refute this doubt. He says, اتباعُ الجنائزِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Following the janazah is from iman. Many, many different chapters. What is following the janazah? Action. صح? It's part of al-iman. So if one says, أخي, forget about all these actions. Has he done tahqiq, actualized the definition of al-iman? لا. And then it brings the hadith. مَنِ اتَّبَعَ جَنَازَةَ مُسْلِمٍ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Whoever follows the janazah with what? With faith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected the janazah, having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The iman and the action have been connected. طيب, another place. صوم رمضان من الإيمان. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is from iman. In another place. الصَّلَاةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Salat is what? It covers nearly everything of al-iman. You say with your tongue, you have what? Khushu' in your heart. You're committing what? Action with your limbs. You believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all this is covered in the salat. Qiyamu laylatul qadri. Qiyamu laylatul qadri min al-iman. Standing up on the laylatul qadr is from iman. Imam Bukhari chapters there. And he goes on.